Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That's right. It's time for another Answer of the Week where we play your answers to the question of the week. It just makes sense. But before we can do any of that, I need Joe Patrick to tell everybody what he asked him this week.
Matt Baum, this week's question was, what are the best and worst comic book status quo shakeups?
Okay, so not necessarily events or
not
retcons, but status quo.
Not everything you knew was wrong.
Nope, just he's doing something different now.
Right. In the vein of Daredevil moving to San Francisco.
He or she are doing something different now.
They.
We're all invited. Them. Them are doing something different now.
That character.
Let's get to our first call. It is a long one. Jason Sachs, welcome back, buddy.
He's using up almost all 3 minutes. Jason Sachs has never called before.
Hey, guys. I have an answer to your question of the week. I am Jason Sachs at Jason Sachs on Twitter. Long-time listener, first-time caller, as they say. So I have a two-headed answer to the two-headed nerd question of what the best and worst comic book shakeup are. And they're kind of two of the same series. The worst one to me has to be the travesty that was Justice League Detroit. Here you have the Justice League of America, the greatest group of superheroes ever gathered together to fight evil across the universe. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, the name of a virtual who's who of great comic heroes. And they get overthrown because they're not protecting the people of Detroit, Michigan in favor of nobodies like Vibe and Gypsy and Steel, the son of the original Indestructible Man, who are there to save who knows what, complete with non-entities like Martian Manhunter and Aquaman. There's literally nothing that's memorable about that series, except how awful it was. But thankfully, they got rid of that group of Justice League in the Legends miniseries, quite memorably in the wonderful four-part storyline that ended that book, as we saw each member of the team get massacred and what came out of that. But maybe my favorite reboot ever, everyone's favorite 80s comic, Justice League International by J.N.D. Mattias, Keith Giffen, and Kevin Maguire. Fun, hilarious, star-spanning, really well thought out, intelligent, but goofy as hell series that totally got me caught up in the universe, made me want to read more DC Comics, and which still totally stands up these days. There's never been anything quite like that book. For that matter, it was a perfect antidote to the gritty and nasty era of the 80s when heroes were getting having all kinds of horrible things happen to them, with a wonderful anecdote to the post-Dark Knight Returns, post-Watchmen world that comics were stuck in. Still to this day, I love so many of those characters in that, Booster Gold and the Blue Beetle, the Martian Manhunter and his Oreo addiction, Elrond the crazy.
He got cut off a little bit in the end there.
Jason, I don't know what happened, but welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. I was wrong. I thought Jason had called before for some reason.
We have had other Jasons.
Okay.
Jason Sachs. Twitter's Jason Sachs.
Okay. Twitter's famous Jason Sachs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the answer. Justice League Detroit is awful. It's terrible.
I only remember covers from quarter bins. That's like, I don't think I ever read a comic.
Imagine the worst comic book characters you can think of led on a team by Aquaman.
Cool.
Maybe that's going a little far. Because Martian Manhunter was there. Elongated Man was there.
Well, where else does Aquaman belong other than Detroit?
But Gypsy and Vibe were also there.
Nice.
It's not good. I also, of course, the post-crisis Justice League relaunch is near and dear to my heart, and I love that answer. I finally remember it to this day, and you're right, it does still hold up. It's why people still demand for Giffen and DeMatteis to get back together.
Demand
time and time
word.
Again. They do. People demand it. But like they still draw their fans, and it's based on the strength of that book, so that is an awesome answer.
Good answers. We got to move. We got a bunch of them. This is awesome. Moving right along from Evanston, Illinois. I think you know who this is.
Hey, guys. This is Dwight from Chicago answering this week's question of the week.
The
worst status quo changes? Well, they both have to do with Batman. The best status quo change was when they changed him from the happy-go-lucky crime fighter of the 60s who was fighting with Batmite and having outer space adventures to the dark and gritty Cape Crusader that we all love right now. The worst status quo change was when they moved him from Stately Wayne Manor to the Wayne Building in downtown Gotham. That was about the stupidest thing they could have ever done. The Batcave is part of what makes Batman Batman. And then they moved it all to that underground, under the building thing. That was stupid. Otherwise, love the show, guys. And like I said, I'm going to start making my regular call. Keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye.
Word, Dwight. We love your regular call.
That's right.
I don't remember when they moved Batman to the building.
This was in the 70s.
Okay.
Right around the time Dick Grayson left to go to college.
Okay.
And when he came back, he was just like, nuts to you, Dad. I'm going to be Nightwing or whatever.
Who was it? Who was writing that?
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember.
It wasn't Denny O'Neil, right?
Denny O'Neil wrote what he cited for his best, which was the transformation from the campy Batman to the Neil Adams, you know,
okay.
Batman. Gosh,
I don't know.
I don't remember. But I only read a few of them. He just needed to get in touch with the city, man.
Hey, I get it.
No.
You know, he doesn't spend enough time there.
You need to go to your freaking mansion and go to your cave with your giant dinosaur.
We're going to pop from Illinois all the way out to L.A. next.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It is Jason from Los Angeles. I am calling about the best and worst comic book status quo shakeups. The winner for the worst is me, if you could really count a winner as being worst. But the worst comic book shakeup to me is when the X-Men moved to San Francisco, really for no good reason. I guess maybe they just like the Bay Area and the weather. But the X-Men just went to San Francisco, and it seemed like they were there for less than a year until Cyclops decided to raise an island out of the ocean and make Utopia, and then we all know how that went. I think the best comic book status quo shakeup has to, if this can be considered a comic book shakeup, would be when Dick Grayson became Batman and you had Damian Wayne as Robin, because it was really cool to see a smiley, jumpy Batman and in a dark and disturbing Robin. But it also made it really well that, Dick Grayson, like, kind of graduated. He became the Batman. And I remember the specific line where Commissioner Gordon was like, you know, I know you're a different Batman, but all the cops like you better. Yeah. So that's my best and worst comic book status quo shakeups. As always, you can find me on youtube.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Hey, this week I followed Scott Lobdell, the writer of Superman, all around Kamikaze. Go check it out if you like seeing the writer of Superman bother other comic book professionals and dollars. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Right on, Jason. And he does have a good YouTube channel. You guys should check it out. It's fun. He's got a fun little Doctor Who video that he did with our very own Princess Ashley.
That's right.
He makes an appearance.
I like those answers, though I kind of disagree. I kind of liked the X-Men in San Francisco.
And I don't think it was for no reason.
This was back when they were like trying to bring the X-Men and the mutants into the public eye. Like, we're here. Get used to it.
Yeah, but
and San Francisco said, come to San Francisco. We welcome you here.
I remember that. But didn't it have something to do with
Schism,
Uncanny X-Force?
Schism came later.
Yeah, I guess that's
Schism
true.
Schism came
true.
Later because they were all still living on Utopia when Schism happened.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked that.
I kind of liked it, too. I thought it was fun.
I agree that it may have been kind of short-lived. Agree to disagree. I do love your Dick Grayson answer.
I like that answer, too.
That was a great...
I didn't think it ended in the best way, but I did think he did a pretty good job. I wish they would have played on it a little more than they did. It kind of seemed a little too short-lived, you know? They could have run a little more.
They brought back Batman. What are you going to do?
Right. I get it.
Jason,
but good answers,
thanks
Jason.
For calling.
Thank you.
You're two for two.
We're going to stay in L.A. for a moment. I think this is Princess Ashley. Let's see.
We don't know. We're just basing this on Google transcripts.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling with my answer to your question of the week, which this week is about best and worst changes to the status quo. My first for worst is not in comic books, but I think has sufficient geek cred to count. And it is the whole thing that went on in Star Wars Episode 1-3 with, in order to be a Jedi, you need a certain midichlorian count instead of discipline. It really undermines the whole samurai kind of theme that the Star Wars franchise was built on, and it's just really f***ing stupid. It made me angry that you got to be born into this instead of having to, like, work and achieve it, and totally, totally devalues everything that Luke did in Episode 4-7. So yeah, worst is definitely midichlorians in Star Wars. My vote for best is what has recently been done to Cyclops in everything sort of since AVX, making him a character who's sort of not morally ambiguous, but is walking that fine line that Magneto used to walk between doing things that everyone views as totally evil as a means to an end.
Whoa.
I love Cyclops. It's really cool to see him have something to struggle with beyond just like, oh, Jean is dead. And it's made him really, really interesting. So that's cool. And he's got the best costume he's had in like years. So yeah, my hope for best is making Cyclops maybe kind of a bad guy, kind of an extremist. Although I think saying him a terrorist maybe step too far. So yeah, worst midichlorians, best Cyclops moral ambiguity. Yeah, bye.
I almost think we could end the podcast there and be like, yep, the midichlorians thing is probably the worst thing that's ever happened. Like, period.
Matt and I kind of debated this while Ashley was talking.
We're trying to decide, is that a retcon?
I think the midichlorians counts as a retcon.
I don't think it does.
Which is a changing of previously established facts.
But here's why I don't think it does. It's because they just never touched on why Jedis had powers in the other ones.
Maybe they forgot about midichlorians.
It's not like in the other ones they were like, no, we're just badasses. Like, they're not. There's a bunch of microscopic bugs that swim around in your butt or whatever.
Based on the strength of its badness, I think we'll allow it.
Yeah, I'm allowing it. Now, Cyclops,
I also dig the Cyclops as kind of morally questionable.
I think he's become extremely, extremely interesting. I don't love the new costume. I think the X on his face is kind of silly.
I don't like his new costume either. But
I'm fine with the visor. In fact, they could even do the X with the visor. I'd be fine with that. But just like just the X, kind
of
silly.
Too many lines and weird Tetris designs on all of the new X-Men costumes. Yeah. I'm not digging on it. Ashley, as always, thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, darling. All right. Enough of this.
MP3
Can
crew.
Can we get to the MP3 crew already? I'm so excited. All right, Randy. Let's get to it and see what you got, buddy. Randy Andrews, ladies and gentlemen.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews again, recording for the MP3 crew for the question of the week. This may not count yet, but Eric Larson, who has written and drawn for Image Comics for like 20 years, he's had Savage Dragon be front and center for 20 years, and now with Savage Dragon being thrown into prison for crimes he didn't commit, his son Malcolm steps up and becomes the front and center. I'd say it's a good shakeup for a status quo in that line. I've caught up with Savage Dragon now and again, and I think it's definitely noteworthy for a good shakeup. The worst, I would have to say, is having Dr. Octopus be Spider-Man.
What?
I miss the jokes.
Out.
I miss the fun in the series. I know Peter Parker's coming back, but we really need him right now to be back as Spidey. That's all I have for now. Until next time, guys. See ya.
Randy, I love you, buddy, but I've totally got to disagree with your Doc Ock take. I totally love Superior Spider-Man. As far as Savage Dragon goes, I don't read the Savage Dragon. I wasn't even aware he had a kid.
Savage Dragon has had a kid since the 90s.
I did not know.
And I'm not sure if Savage Dragon moves in real time, but it definitely progresses way forward in time as it goes. And Savage Dragon has always, always been a title that is not afraid to totally f*** up what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've sent him to a completely parallel universe.
Yep.
Just said, that universe you've been reading about for the past 74 issues, sorry.
Gone.
It's dead. Yeah. Here's a new universe. Things are slightly different. Go. He's made Dragon like some sort of intergalactic murderous emperor. I'm not current, but I know that Eric Larson is constantly throwing monkey wrenches in his own book.
So status quo change is the status quo.
Yes,
in
exactly.
Dragon.
And I think that is a great example.
Yeah,
Superior
fun.
Spider-Man is just plain fun, Randy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm
man.
Sorry.
But Aaron Myers sends an email with his MP3 and it just says MP3 crew, MP3 king. Boom. Let's see what he had to say. Whoa. Oh my.
Hey. Welcome back to the Answer of the Week. I'm Joe Patrick.
Hey guys, Aaron Myers here, THN Love Slave, and co-host of the Comics Therapy podcast I do with Andrea Shockling. I'm answering this week's question. What's the best and worst comic book status quo shakeups? I can never think of a best or worst, but I will always just call in what comes to mind first. And what came to mind first for me was Spider-Man joining the Fantastic Four after Johnny Storm died. Spoiler alert. So, yeah, that's kind of what came to mind first. I thought that was a really fun time for Fantastic Four after the loss, and kind of having Spidey on the team really kind of shook things up. So that's what came to mind. So that's my answer, and I'm sticking with it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, I like the answers, but you lose huge points for the Eagles, man.
Well, come on, whatever.
Hate the f***ing Eagles. Sorry.
Whatever.
I also very much enjoyed when Spidey joined the FF, and it was really fun because it was sort of like he was already a member of the family.
I do love the fact that Spider-Man is essentially part of the Richards family, the Richard Storm family, and I totally agree. Him joining the group, it couldn't have gone another way. You couldn't have filled that spot with any other person and had it
totally agree.
And had it feel right.
And it just wouldn't be right if we didn't do Andrea Shockling right after her co-host. Erin Myers.
Even though she beat Erin with her answer this week.
Did she?
Yeah.
Let's see what she has to say. You're all very dramatic today. All the leaves are brown, leaves are it's the old school mix, too. Like the left and right is split up. That's cool.
I've never heard that guy.
All the leaves are brown.
I don't know if Andrea remembered to record anything.
No, she says that the music, the long stretch of music helps sell the joke.
Ah.
That's undoubtedly coming. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's Andrea. At Andrea Shock on Twitter and one half of Comics Therapy with the esteemed Mr. Erin Michael Myers of
one
Eugene Myers's. I, in fact, consulted with Mr. Myers before responding, just to make absolute sure my loyalty to the character in question wasn't somehow clouding my objectivity. But nope, it seems all really is fair in love and war in comics. So my answer this week for one of many best comic shakeups is an enthusiastic West Coast Avengers, right? This is, of course, how I first fell for Clint Barton. Still my all-time favorite, and my first introduction to Moon Knight and the Vision. I didn't have the larger context to appreciate the spinoff at the time, but now I think it's hilarious. And truly, I say that with love, because as silly as a lot of it is, some pretty significant Marvel Universe events have their early roots in WCA territory. Hawkeye and Mockingbird's troubled relationship, the reaffirmation that Avengers don't kill, except, you know, when
except
they do.
Except for when they do.
Even some of the first evidence that Scarlet Witch was crazy unstable and her kids were going to be nothing but trouble for everyone. All of that came out under sunshine and palm trees, rather than the mean streets of New York. And like so many so-called shakeups, it ultimately didn't last, with most of the members still around at the end of the run, rejoining the main team. You can joke all you want about the West Coast Avengers, but I think they're awesome. And Matt Fraction's decision to send Kate Bishop to L.A. proves I'm not the only one who believes the West Coast is the best coast. Thanks, guys.
It all makes sense suddenly.
Yes.
It all makes sense. And I agree with her. I love the West Coast
Nobody
Avengers.
In this ziggurat is going to disagree with you that the West Coast
not.
Avengers are anything but awesome.
Loved the West Coast Avengers.
You know what else the West Coast Avengers is notable for?
What's that?
The introduction of the Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, no kidding.
You're welcome,
that's
America.
Right. There you go. They don't get a lot of play anymore these days. Good news, folks. Sean X is still alive. We thought he was dead. We hadn't heard from him for a couple weeks now.
No way, man. He called in to talk about how he felt about Thor.
That was like 2 weeks ago, dude.
Oh, man.
A lot can
two
happen in 2 weeks.
Weeks
Let's
ago.
See what happened to him. Let's see if he sounds weird.
Hello, two-headed nerd.
He sounds totally Sean X weird.
Emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Sorry I missed last week, guys. I know Joe was probably upset. He's crying in his Cheerios. I was actually, there's a little red tape. The legal team of the Pseudo Radio Productions family, I had to speak with them about being part of any crew. And since I'm part of the signed in crew and part of the Pseudo Radio Productions family, my hands are tied. So can't be part of an MP3 crew.
Ooh, gang war.
I'm not too upset about it, but, you know. I gotta go where the money's at. I don't get paid for
that. Well, there's no money in this.
Anyway, and plus, speaking of where the money's at, you want us to call in with an awesome idea for a television show, and we know all the stars and producers and big wigs that listen to your show? Come on, guys. I don't want to see Kiefer Sutherland as the grifter running around on FX or Fox or any damn channel for that matter, unless I have my hand in the cookie jar on that one.
He's too old.
Idea
He's too
is old. Stellar. So if you guys want it, maybe we could do a special show on it and I can talk about it. But this week, we're talking status quo shakeups and breakups. Well, not really breakups. Best and worst. We'll do it that way. I'm talking breakups because you'll hear it in my worst. The old curmudgeon, the mean old man that lives on Rosewood Drive is going to come out. But anyway, we'll start with the best. The best status quo shakeup would have to go to Planet Hulk for me. Greg Pak's run on that was fantastic. When I first heard about it, I was kind of like, oh, this is ridiculous. I think this is just Marvel's way of, you know, figuring out a way to get Hulk to sell books and blah, 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 blah. But when I read Planet Hulk, I heard a lot of good things about it. And when I read it, I fell in love with it. And it was really too bad because it was kind of too late to the party. World War Hulk was on the horizon already. And I thought Hulk as this barbarian king, essentially Conan or Conan. I don't want Wooly Toots to get upset with me, so I'll say it twice. Essentially, he was just this king of barbarians on this planet. You know, barbarian, alien barbarians. He was in love. It was a cool side to the Hulk that we haven't seen before. You know, in that capacity, we've seen Grey Hulk and, you know, his way, and we've seen the Smart Hulk, but that was mostly Bruce, but just in the Hulk's body, which I absolutely loved. And I thought this, though, was a great, great look at the Hulk, what he can do. I wish they would have stuck around there for a couple more years, maybe a year, year and a half, at least 18 more issues. I thought that would have been fantastic. Maybe have Bruce kind of emerge, maybe fight a cosmic battle. Maybe Beta Ray Bill would show up, something. I don't know. But I thought that was fantastic. This is one of the hardcovers that I returned to. Worst status quo shakeups and eventually my breakup from the X-Men universe would have to be pretty much AVX into Marvel now! It would have to be that. AVX I thought was terrible. I read a couple issues out of it. You know, the Jean Grey thing rubbed me the wrong way. The fact that they just didn't understand that she wasn't around. They kept calling her the Phoenix. It just didn't make sense to me. It's like, editors, did you not read these back issues? I didn't understand that at all. And then it just... You have it lead up to, you know, I know what they were trying to do, have the Avengers kind of join forces with the X-Men and not have this line separating the two. But then Infinity breaks, right? And all the Avengers fly out into space and then they leave the X-Men behind. I don't like it. And you've got Inhumanity on the horizon. I'm getting upset. I'm getting rattled, getting a little... Just old man, old nerd here is getting upset, but you've got Inhumanity on the horizon, and at the end of AVX, the mutants were getting a nice bloom again, and I thought, well, that would be a nice little touch. We got new mutants out there, you know, new crazy ones, but of course, all the new mutants that come out to now are all gorgeous, and they all look good, and Inhumanity's on the horizon, and that's going to make people look weird again, and they're going to be like, look at these crazy people.
Cut off. Okay, Sean, thank you so much for your call, but man, we got to focus, buddy.
Did he get cut off?
Yeah, I just cut him off.
Oh, come on.
Now, Planet Hulk, totally agree. Ton of fun. I disagree. I thought AVX was a pretty good time.
I didn't read Planet Hulk.
You didn't read Planet Hulk?
I was already way behind on the Hulk when Planet
really?
Hulk started, and I just never got caught up.
It was a lot of fun.
I think I have the book.
The
I just
best thing that Greg Pak did with the Hulk was definitely Planet Hulk. Now, I did not dislike AVX. I thought it ended a little weird.
Sean and I have had many conversations about why he hates the X-Men for no rational reason.
Yeah. I mean, really.
He loves the X-Men, and I understand... He's coming from a place of deep love and deep appreciation for continuity. And man, if anyone gets it, it's me. But I still think the stories are fun. I think that having the past X-Men here is fun. yes, the mutants that have popped up happen to be pretty and not, you know, horrifying.
Well, there's a guy that just makes gold bubbles, you know?
Well, there's a guy there. Wolverine and the X-Men has giant snot monster,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, they've got some
there's some ugly ones, yeah.
But I see where he's coming from. I don't necessarily agree.
I get it. And I'm with you.
Sean, I'm sorry Matt is an asshole and cut you off.
Hey, rules are rules.
Because he doesn't know how to have fun.
Everybody has to abide by them. Okay? There's no VIPs here.
Sean's a VIP.
Not in the MP3 crew.
Well,
Sean took himself out of the MP3 crew.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
They're going to, when they find out, oof, they're going to come for your patch, buddy.
So we know if we don't miss anything.
No, you're not going to miss anything. He's just bitching about AVX for 10 more minutes.
All right. He's not even going to bother to listen to the rest of your MP3,
sure,
Sean.
Next, Brian Domingos left his MP3. I mentioned this because he said, oops, I forgot to include my name in the recording. So, Brian, you're welcome.
Hey, guys. This is for the question of the week, status quo shakeup. My best, as you might imagine, is Stormwatch by Warren Ellis and Tom Rainey. They revamped Wildstorm's second-tier flagship book and made it actually matter. It's a hard-hitting political commentary with superhero smashing, and it was the springboard for the book that defined superhero comics for the 21st century, and just get ready for a meaty truth bomb, but without Ellis and Rainey's Stormwatch, there is no authority. And without the authority, there is no Ultimates. And without the Ultimates, there is no $1.5 billion Avengers movie. So you see how important that is. For the worst is Barry Allen's return as The Flash. Ditching Wally for Barry has just resulted in not really anything worth anything of a story. Barry's still boring. And if Francis Manapul was not doing the illustrating, I don't think anyone would even have looked at any of the issues that Geoff Johns did past maybe the first one. In the New 52 book is just the definition of mediocre scripting. I just read the zero year issue with Chris Sprouse, who did some nice artwork, and the dialogue felt like it was plucked out of the trash bin of the Criminal Minds writer's room. It's pretty boring overall. But one last thing, last week's question, go check out my post in favor of Scalped as a TV show. I cast Dash. I saw the guy that I linked to on Sleeper Cell. Just give him some nasty nunchucks and he would be perfect. Thank you.
Love that choice. Love that choice. Excellent call, Domingos. I really like the fishing the dialogue out of the garbage can of the Criminal Minds writer's room.
I love Brian Domingos.
That was good. Next, the amazing Spider Brad. Always does a great job here. Keeps it short, keeps it succinct, does the job. Here we go.
Hey, true believers, it's the amazing Spider Brad swinging into action.
I thought he was singing it first.
Tights, like, hey, true believers. Dry cleaning bills. When I'm not riding lockjaw into a dimension where my band Field Club has 10 gold records, and I'm whipping up my answer to the question of the week.
Lockjaw can't travel.
Now, I figured
from
since
dimension
today's
to
question
dimension,
is about breaking the status quo,
place to place,
that I would do just that. So here is my answer to the question of the week.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Now listen, everybody. I'll tell you who I be. Amazing Spider Brad.
What is happening?
I'll just be the king of MP3. It's coming down to the wire. Now no need to perspire. Let's talk about the mighty Thor, specifically issue 364. Now Loki turned Thor into a frog to break the status quo. Led an army of frogs against the rats to be a hero. After a battle so victorious, picked up Mjolnir so glorious, to Nasha broke off a piece, frog Mjolnir, what a piece, who is a worthy frog, puddle gulp, became Thrug.
His mortal form has grown weak.
Wow.
It's
Where
over.
Where you at, comic pushers? That is right, I'm calling you out.
It's over.
The beat was written by Justin Vaughn, the mad scientist of the band Field Club. You can check us out this weekend at the Omaha Entertainment Awards Showcase. And again, thank you so much, Two-Headed Nerd, for making this awesome podcast, for giving us the opportunity to answer the question of the week. Move over, guys. There's a new sheriff in town. Amazing Spider Brad, king of the MP3. Thank you so much, everyone. Amazing Spider Brad is out.
Wow. A lot of infighting in the MP3 crew, and I love they're all proclaiming themselves king. It's like this king of the mountain in the MP3 crew. That was amazing.
I am just stunned.
That was super dope.
I don't even know what he was rapping about.
He was rapping about Thor. Loki turning Thor into a frog. And I loved that. It was such a great story. Unfortunately, Gmail thought that was junk. I'm going to click it. Not junk. All right. Roderick Ruth skates in at the last minute. Literally comes sliding into home plate at 5:05 with the message, "Hope I make it." Let's see if you did, Roderick.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is the man that can't be stopped here, Roderick Ruth, with the answer to this week's question of the week, which was, what's the best and worst comic book status quo shakeup? So I think for me, the best and worst status quo shakeup in comic books was the events of X-Men Schism, where Cyclops and Wolverine had polarized the X-Men and divided them into two factions. And the reason why I like that is just because it's sort of the second generation of mutants taking over the roles of Charles Xavier and Magneto as opposites and competing for the mutant cause. Much like the parallels of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, you know, back in the old civil rights era. So that was the best part of it, I think. It's also the worst because you get X-Men with very fickle decision-making and joining sides they may not believe in, and also crazy alliances that don't necessarily last as long. I don't know. So sometimes it's not as good. Sometimes it's great. There you go, guys. That's my answer. See ya.
Solid answer. Very solid answer. Whoa. Two weird beeps in the end. I don't know. Roderick Ruth, just in time. Very solid answer. I liked Schism, too. I thought it was fun. You know what? I don't know why I never really placed it with, like, a new Professor X and Magneto. But, yeah, it kind of was there, wasn't it?
Yes, they are Cyclops
Professor playing the
X
role
and Magneto.
Of Magneto. Yeah, I don't know why. I just never really, just right over my head.
The, I mean, I think it's interesting that he points out that it's both a great status quo shakeup and ultimately a bad status quo shakeup. Yeah. Because I do agree that sometimes a lot of the stuff that happens to force the side-taking issue doesn't necessarily make sense.
No, I agree. I agree.
You know, characters acting contrary to the established history, mm-hmm. and this is certainly where Shonix would come in and add his 2 cents.
I just don't think it was that forced. I thought they'd been building towards that argument for a long time. Wolverine and Cyclops haven't gotten along for years. It came to a head. Boom.
Meh.
Whammo.
Eh.
Joe Patrick, you got an answer for this question?
Yeah. Why don't you go first for
a change?
You
want me to go first? I'll go first.
I'm sick of going first. I'm sick of setting it up so that you look good.
Oh, okay. I'll go first. My best, and I think it's going to surprise you, I'm going to go with the death of Superman. I'm going to the death of Superman because it was one of the reasons I started reading Superman comics. Because I went, no way they're going to kill Superman. I do not buy it. They did. Totally shocked. Blew me away. And I was like, well, now I got to read it, see what happens. I loved all the new, like, the Reign of the Superman storyline. Loved it. Totally fun. They introduced the Eradicator, the Superboy, new Superboy, who was a total dip in retrospect. But I thought he was pretty cool back then.
Sure.
Steel, who I still love.
And Cyborg Superman.
Cyborg Superman, who became one of my favorite villains eventually because he was so creepy. Loved it. Worst.
Wait. I have a response.
Okay.
I actually thought of picking the death of Superman for mine.
Okay.
But for different reasons. I love it as well. And I was talking with Aaron Myers about it earlier today.
It was just such a great shakeup.
I love those stories, but they are almost universally considered the start of a dark time for comics.
That's where I was going next.
Listen up. And I think that Superman dying is one of the best status quo shakeups because people hated what followed for so long.
Yes.
That it led to kind of a resurgence in quality. Whereas before, if you look at comics from before then, they were kind of stale and treading water. Not that I didn't love them. Like, I love Superman comics from that era.
No, it was a weird time. It was a very weird time.
You know, these constant shakeups and gimmicks, while in hindsight are not necessarily good, they did lead to a lot of great things.
Yes.
And I'm saying that without the death of Superman to kick it all off, we may have never gotten around to, like, Grant Morrison's JLA.
No, absolutely.
Or a really great run of Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern. And even to a smaller extent, I give that credit to, like Grant Morrison shaking up the X-Men for the same reason. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of that run of the X-Men.
Right.
But if you look at the X-Men comics from right before then, they are the textbook definition of repetitive and boring.
Just spinning wheels, nothing going on.
And if it wasn't for Grant Morrison coming in and just kicking everybody over.
Mm-hmm. This is still my turn, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So just checking.
I'm just
just checking.
Like, I'm supporting your picks, but my reasons were different than yours.
Fair enough. My worst, when they returned Superman Red and Blue back to one Superman.
Because they wrote themselves into a corner.
They totally did.
I can't come up with a good explanation for how Superman gets restored to one normal person.
And everybody hated it when Superman first split. Grant Morrison did some really cool stuff with Superman Red and Blue. Really cool stuff in the pages of JLA. And when he...
Did he?
Yeah, he showed up on the satellite, and Lex Luthor.
I know that
beamed him out into space. Just that like was, gone.
he was Electric Blue Superman for a while before he became split into two.
Right. He was Blue
Grant
Superman.
Grant Morrison did a lot with what was given to him.
But the way that they put him back together was just terrible.
Yeah, the Earth just decided to reward him for his
Gaia, the Earth goddess.
You never see any of it. It's just him speculating.
No. Well, him speculating. Well, that's who Captain Planet works for too.
Right.
Gaia. Now, Captain Planet actually talked to Gaia.
Captain Planet.
I can't say that Superman did, but they decided, this whole two Superman thing doesn't work. Let's just fart him back together magically. That was the end of that.
Sometimes it's best.
Stupid.
Sometimes it's best to just close your eyes and flip the switch and ignore. What happened?
Give me your answer, Joe Patrick.
And move on. My best, my favorite. I thought about this, and it was kind of hard. I thought about the Superman thing and the X-Men thing. But the thing that kept popping into my head was from the New Warriors in the 90s. And I knew you were going to react that way.
Sigh.
New Warriors was a comic that, much like Savage Dragon, was not afraid to do terrible things to its main characters.
Okay.
About 18 issues in, Marvel Boy, who went on to become Justice and join the Avengers, was the victim of an abusive father who was, later you find out he's like a closeted homosexual, but he's taking out this like mutant phobia out on his son. And just beating him mercilessly. And
Justice's dad was a closet homophobe, not Justice.
A closeted homosexual.
Oh, closeted homosexual, not Justice.
Right. No, Justice was in love with Firestar.
We can all agree that Justice is totally gay, though.
He's not, no. Anyway, Marvel Boy's dad was just beating him. And, like in any kind of real world situation, it didn't necessarily matter that Marvel Boy had the power to stop him. Because he was traumatized and trapped in that relationship. And what?
Just saying. I would have blown my dad away. That's all I'm saying. Baboosh, mind power. Well, he's that old man.
And guess what? That's what he does.
I know.
That's the shakeup.
Okay.
Marvel Boy, he is pushed too far. His dad, he has just come back from a mission where he has been tortured by a supervillain. His dad is pounding him, and he puts his dad through the side of the house with his mental powers, with his telekinesis. He subconsciously, telekinetically, grinds most of the bones in his dad's body to powder.
So he killed him.
And he dies.
He killed his dad.
And Marvel Boy goes on trial for negligent homicide and gets convicted and sent to prison.
And then what was his new status quo? He was in jail?
Yeah, he went to prison. This hero, this guy that grew up idolizing. All right. You're really just.
I just never read it. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm asking. Like, was that the new status quo or like what?
Yes, the status quo.
He grew wings. I don't know.
You don't think it's enough of a status quo
and a
that he merged his
horn sprouted from his head like a rhinoceros, so and he became Justice.
he this guy that idolized Captain America and the Avengers grew up wanting to be nothing more than a hero.
Right. Murders
who has this secret trauma, loses control and murders his own dad.
That's rough.
And has to spend a couple years in prison paying for what he's done.
That's rough, man.
And when he comes out, he's obviously a changed person. He changes his name to Justice. He grows up and then later becomes an Avenger. But at the time, I was, 12 or 14. And I was just like, what the f***? is happening.
Did you go take it out on your abusive old man?
I, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dad.
I telekinesed him. Telekinesed him.
Yeah.
But I just love that that book could do something like that with one of its main characters. They just removed him.
Okay.
Completely.
Yeah, he was one of the main characters.
And set him down this path. And I just love that. And it's, to this day, one of my all-time favorite kind of shakeups in that book. And the team like felt it for years to come.
Okay, worst.
My worst, and Matt and I talked about this when we recorded last week, and I've decided it's a tie, but they're both Spider-Man related.
All right.
My tie for worst is when Spider-Man had learned that he was secretly getting his powers from a animal mystic spider totem.
Ugh.
And went into a cocoon and came out with a sticky body and bone claws.
Yep.
Pretty bad.
How did they make that go away?
I'll tell you how they made it go away. Brand new day.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
One more day wiped it from continuity.
Yeah, they had no choice but to do something magic to just like fart all that out the window.
And that is the my tie for worst is one more day. Even though we liked what came after for the most part, the idea that Marvel just felt so trapped by Spider-Man's marriage that they had to undo it by any means necessary.
Sure. And the devil was trading in marriages, not souls anymore.
Yeah, you know.
They were worth more. I don't know.
Like, he's keeping Spider-Man and Mary Jane's love in his freezer and pulling it out once a year like wedding cake and snacking on it a little bit. It was gross. It was crass. And
so what's the other one? What did you say? It was a tie.
The other, where he got...
Oh, the other. Crosses. Okay, okay.
And
you know what? I'm calling a tie for mine, too, because the Nightcrawler thing where it turned out he was related to Azazel and his dad is a devil, and Nightcrawler comes from a long run of little devils. Ugh. Ugh. Hate that. Hate it. Chuck Austin gave us that bullshit. Yuck. And that wasn't even enough. He was like, oh, yeah, and guess what else? Angel's blood can heal people. Yeah, it's a secondary mutation. And like, ugh, God.
There's a lot wrong with that run of X-Men,
man,
no doubt.
Yuck. I could bitch about this all day. But we don't have time for that because we have real lives. Guys, thank you so much for calling us, for shooting us your MP3s. I feel like the Amazing Spider-Brad has raised the bar, and I am calling for mass upheaval in MP3 crew. I want to hear lunacy. I want special effects.
Listen,
I want.
These are normal people we're talking about.
I know.
They don't all have bands and sound studios
it's
or
true.
Whatever the hell.
It's true. It's true. Where was Silva this week?
I don't know. Busy.
Hi ho, Silva. Hope you're back soon. Guys, we'll see you this weekend for a brand new episode of The Two-Headed Nerd. And of course, we'll have a new question of the week posted this Friday, not Saturday, Friday. I give this kid one job.
What difference does it make? We don't record it until Tuesday.
Regardless, they need their time. We love you all, and we will talk to you soon.
Friday was... I was busy. Black Friday. I had to work. I worked retail on Black Friday.
Afro-American
Up
Friday.
Yours.
Racist.
Yeah, bye.